The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here to Analyze This, and we're going to have a special 20-minute segment where we blend in the Power Hour and the Table Talk in the aftermath of last night's State of the Union. State of the Union address, right? But before we do that, some programming notes. You know, on Friday night, we do the PBS News Hour from 7 to 8. Consuelo Mack Wealth Track from 8 to 8:30, in conversation with AARPVI from 8:30 to 9. Washington Week with The Atlantic from 9 to 9:30. Firing Line with Margaret Hoover from 9:30 to 10. And then American Masters, Explore the Life and the 70-year career of Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award winner Rita Moreno. Okay? And that's from 10 p.m. to midnight. And Rita Moreno is not only a talented Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award winner. She was a lovely lady back in the day and probably still is lovely. You know, she got Puerto Rican roots. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you're not midnight. I'm a Pouring Company, which is a midnight thing, but come Monday, right? I'm a Pouring Company, back to 11, got time turning forward. Okay? On the mainland, Saturday night, 2 o'clock. A.M. Sunday 40 morning. So PBS News Hour 7, Consuelo Mack Wealth Track, half hour, in conversation with AARP, VI, half hour, Washington Week with Atlantic, half hour, Firing Line with Margaret Hoover, half hour, American Masters featuring Rita Moreno, 2 hours from 10 p.m. to midnight. I believe we got a gang on the line. First of all, I want to thank Kyle Fleming for holding on here with me. Doc School. The handle. Good morning from St. Thomas. How are you? Morning, Docs. You still there? You ain't hearing nothing. Ronnie Russell? You there, Ronnie? Look like we lose that connection. Oh, Rocky? Okay, we got Rocky on the line. The ranking member?
Good morning, Mr. President.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Good to hear your voice. Rocky, how are you doing?
Hey, good, man. I'm good.
Okay.
Good, I listened to you guys this morning.
Yeah, that's good. First of all, I heard that you had a loss in the family, so condolences to you and the family, Mr. Ranking Member. And
thank you. And I want to say to all the well-wishers and folks out there, and the many people who have called to express, we want to send behalf of the family, thank you. Just one of those sudden things happened.
Okay. And so we want to send our condolences and let you know that the entire Virgin Islands, because you know, you have always been a Virgin Islands politician based on your being an at-large senator. So all of us send our thoughts and prayers to you and the fam. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, good. I don't have Ducks and Rocky, Ronnie on the line. Good morning, guys. Are they there? Okay, no, they're there right now. So hopefully we can get them back. And Rocky, first of all, I wanted to incorporate Kyle Fleming in our discussion because, you know, me, you, Ronnie, and Ducks, we generation done. And Kyle Fleming is generation now and future. You check? So last night's speech, let me start with you, Kyle. One of the issues the young people are having is that they don't believe the current leadership is sensitive enough to the realities of what they're dealing with, right? Even though Biden appears to be winning the 18 to 30 vote, we're still 8 months away from the election. You come from a political family. Mm-hmm. Your father was prime minister?
Chief.
He was a chief.
Chief minister, yeah.
Chief minister in Anguilla, mm-hmm. right? I said, you go pronounce that correctly, Anguilla, yeah. right? Yeah. Hey, Rocky, when the Anguillan were talking to the man for the New York Daily News, when Timmy Duncan were winning the title, the man from Anguilla said, don't forget to mention his parents are from Anguilla.
Yeah.
Even if I'm here. But on a serious note, how do we get the consciousness of the folks at your age, young professionals, at a higher level and a greater understanding And even though we're in the Virgin Islands and we don't vote for the presidency, we still have a vested interest in what's going on up there. So how do we how do we get them to, even though our politics is local, understand that a lot of things that we benefit from are what's taking place on the mainland?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's, I feel like maybe there's part of the trickle-down impacts of maybe that's part of that, the sentiment is there that it hasn't started to hit yet. Because if you think about, like, you know, we talk about the federal funding that has come into play in the energy space, but that really just covers like a section of it, right? And like a lot of those funds, a lot of the programs that are now being put in place, like they're touching so many different industries, especially across those same, that the, where there's tons of people who are within that age demographic that are currently working. And I'm sure that what's part of this, this maybe sentiment is there's feel like maybe there's a delay in like the actual reality, whether it be if you're working in, you know, let's say you're working in any type of manufacturing, right? Any type of manufacturing is being supported under, under the Biden administration. You know, maybe what we haven't seen is that the ramp up in demand hasn't played out yet, just because it's, you know, some of those funds are starting to mobilize. But then when you start realizing that you as a young professional in the manufacturing space, you're seeing more opportunities grow up, maybe you're able to easily transition from your job to the next job because there's such a high demand based off of the strategic investment that the Biden administration is pushing. I think that there's a, just a little bit of a lag in the reality of so much of the funds that are being, that, well, the industries that are being bolstered by the Biden administration. I think once that starts to come to, you know, more fruition, people, it'd be a little more tangible to this generation, because they're working. I mean, there's a lot of generation that's working.
So someone who is actually in a managerial position, you know that the Biden administration, in your opinion, is trying to incorporate things for the young professionals like yourself.
I see it. Look, I see them supporting the entire industry, like, economy, mm-hmm. and from someone who's worked in this space long enough, I can see how the entire industry at being elevated provides a path for me to be elevated. Right. And I think maybe that's sometimes where the gap may be.
Okay, we got a guy's on right now. Docs are running. Are they on yet? Why are we hearing him? Oh, he merging. Okay, good. Rocky, one of the things that you were known for, your first go-around as Senate President, I believe this is 2001, 2002, you hire a lot of young people in key managerial positions. I believe Patrick Simeon Sproul at one point was your executive director, a young executive director. Talk about, from a management standpoint, why it's important that we don't wait for young people to want to lead. We got to see.
I'm watching you now.
Okay, I can hear you now. Rani, you on?
Yes, I am.
Docs, you on?
Yeah, I'm hearing you now.
Okay, good, everything good. Sorry about that gremlin there. We got Kyle Fleming for another 10-12 minutes, and we're talking about in the aftermath of last night's State of the Union speech. And I'm asking Rocky, why is so critical that we don't wait for young talent to come and tell us they want to be a part of the deal? We got to identify that. So I'm going to Rocky, then Ronnie, then Docs. Rocky.
Yes. Neville, and good morning, guys.
Morning.
The way I saw it, and it was 1995, not 2000.
First go around, correct. I apologize.
I always felt, and I looked at myself, because when I was younger, people gave me a chance to work in some areas, and they looked at the fact that I had taken some time to educate myself, to go work in different fields, and so they gave me opportunity. To me, that's where it starts. People, you know, one of the biggest problems I find with young people getting a job is where they are jobs. They're older people. They don't want to give them a chance. They want to keep everything for themselves and believe that they're going to never die or never move away from it. And they feel threatened by the ability of the young folks because they're bright. You know, me, I'm a different kind of guy like that. I said, look, if you're bright and you're good, and I want you on my team, because when you do good, the community does good. The world, the whole government works good. So it's not about me. But too many of the egos that we have, particularly in the territory, want to keep power around themselves. And last night, what I saw from the president is clear, and Kyle just touched on it, that, listen, We have to First of all, I think the president sent a message. You got to love America. You can only love it when you win. You got to love it, period. You know, when you lose, you got to take your loss and move on. And what I'm saying is that I'm saying where he's sending a message of we got to put some pride in ourselves. We got to believe in ourselves and throw away that negative behavior. Get rid of all that negativity. That's what's destroying us. And I believe if we were to do that at home and abroad, you will see a lot of younger people. For example, there's some people who came to work with me, Neville.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me, they wanted a job. I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I just want to be an aide or accountant in business office. I said, well, why don't you want to be in charge of business office? Why mm-hmm. don't you want to do that? Oh, no, I ain't quite ready for that. I said, look, I tell you what. I'm not giving you no job for that. This is what I'm going to put you in charge of this area and that area. You go home and do your homework and come back. Otherwise, I have no job for you. The rest is history.
That's
So this is what you got to do. You got to show that you care, because sometimes people need a little nudge in, or people need that. And some of us don't do that. So that's my analysis of it now in a nutshell.
Ronnie, you hired Kiwaka at a young age to be our chief counsel, remember? Back in, or at least that was your suggestion to then President Senator Berry. I believe this was in 2006. Yes. So we're not just talking about something that we wanted to happen. We actually practiced it.
Exactly.
Why is it so critical, and why do you think there is a disconnect with a percentage of the young people? I mean, Kyle spoke of it. He said there's a lag dynamic that we can't ignore, and we know about lag because the Virgin Islands, you know, we live with that federal money lag that happens on the mainland, and things that happen in the U.S. takes 2 to 3 months to actually affect us down here. But again, speak along those lines.
You know, I think, Neville, and my involvement in criminal law in the last 2 or 3 years has told me that it's a comprehensive revamping of our community structure. A lot of the parents are the problem, you know. It ain't the children. I hate to say that. But the parents, we had a lull with the values transmitted to parents. And these young children got children. And they creating a bigger problem with our children than the children themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the leaders that we have to lead by example. You have to live a life and lead by example and then transmit it to the younger people that are interested in really learning. Right now, we don't have young people that really want to learn and want to be in school. And we got to change that. We got to change that significantly and get the parents to understand what it values, what it is to value education. What Rocky and all of us talking about, we hired young people because, you know, succession planning. Biden's speech was just magnificent, Rocky and Doc.
Hey, Doc, you know that one coming, right?
Yeah, I had to do it because, you know, and I read CNN report. They gave a good report. And Biden, you know, deal with all the only issue that he really has leaving that speech was he trying with Hamas and Israel. Okay?
Mm-hmm. We're going to break that down. We are getting to that because that's a very important
everything else was spectacular.
That's what I'm talking about. Docs, good morning once again to the handle in St. Thomas. Glad to have you on. You serve as the PSC director. So you know about management. Our young people, you know, people, we keep using the talk, we hear the talk a lot during the campaign. The young people are our future. But the young people are our present, Docs. We need them to take on some significant leadership roles now.
Absolutely. Good morning, Neville. I'm happy that you brought us on for a little table talk.
I had to do it.
And Mr. Fleming is there. Rocky, my heart is with you, man. Blessings.
Amen.
And did, man.
Neville.
Yeah.
When you talk about youth, I work at the Public Services Commission. I work at the library. And I told my staff when I got there, when I leave, I want a legacy. I'm going to put a staff in place. Young people, because people gone. Right now at the Public Service Commission, the assistant director is Ms. Tishan Hendricks, who is the assistant director under Satori, okay? And the staff is young. So, you know, when I unfortunately had to leave, the entity was in good hands with young, competent individuals, because you put them in place to allow them to carry out the mandate. And as Rocky say, when they succeed, you succeed. Make your job easier. As a matter of fact, Senator Alma Francis Heiliger, I hired her when I came into the legislature.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. And now she sits on the floor of the legislature, gleaned from, you know, from the experience that she gleaned in the office, and individuals who I had their car seasoned, these are the young people. You got to give them that opportunity, and they will shine because they have the confidence and they go for it.
Check this out.
Last night,
Hold on there. Check this out because I want to talk about the young people aspect. And I want to bring Kyle back in here, and then I go excuse him, and then the three of us could break it down, and then we'll get into the heart of the discussion. The young man Dixon, Kevin. That's his name, right? You're working in government Department of Labor. Kevin Dixon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Labor.
I was with the governor and Carl Knight. This is 2022, having that conversation. I find out Kevin Gein. And Kevin leaving Labor at the time was a reflection of young people don't want to work for people no more. They want to get into ownership at an early age. And we spoke about this with the Gen Z thing, right? As opposed to millennials. They're into owning business at a young age, Kyle Fleming. I'm sure those are your peers. You got to be proud of that and like that. Of course, we hope that they understand ownership. With ownership comes responsibility.
It does, but I think that there's a perfect balance, right? Where there's so much lessons to be learned from, you know, from the traditional workspace that then can prepare you know, anybody, but you know, a young entrepreneur to succeed when they make that transition. And I think I'll tell you 100% is definitely the case. The concept that, you know, we talked about the kind of the different kind of characteristics. I assure you that there's very few people, if any, in the millennial and the Gen Z that go into any job thinking, okay, we've got 30 years that we want to put into this this one agency.
They got public service is a 30-year commitment, sometimes right. 40.
And
mentality, mentality, yeah.
And that is certainly not the type of gratification that, you know, I can tell for myself, for my peers, you know, what we strive for. Like, it's not that structure is not attractive. But that's okay. I mean, if you look around across the private industry, you know, they're not expecting, you know, 10, 20 year employees either. They're expect, especially at the higher level, like you look at the engineering, the development, the high level finance, like they're expecting you to come in there, you know, work your butt off. And then, you know, expect that you're going to transition that into your next role. Like, we're thinking, okay, let's put 3 years in, let's build a resume, let's build the experience. Now let's apply this in the next environment. That's just something we got to kind of adjust to then.
Don't go nowhere. I'm going to wrap up that thought when we come back, and then I go excuse you officially and get with the boys. We'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, but it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here to analyze this, wrapping up a component of last night's State of the Union address. We got the table tag gang here, Ronnie Russell from Kena Ridge and St. Croix, Doug Scold from the Capitol, the handle out of St. Thomas, and even the Rocky Library is on assignment out in the mainland. We were lucky to get him on this morning. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me for this special Friday. Yeah, Rocky.
Before you left,
Mr. Clement, yeah.
I have a comment I need to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? Great. I listened to your discussion about the gentleman with the
$4,800 down payment, yeah.
Yeah. What I have to say is this. I heard Mr. Clement saying that you could call the consumer, what it is, the
customer service.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't really buy that too much. I'm going to tell you why. Because I feel like you need to sell them, go to an individual that they can get it done. Because the service are run around. That's you call and you don't show what time they'll get them. Sometimes you call and they ring you forever. You know, so you need to tell them, listen, go to XYZ and they will address this. People need to have results. You know, this part of our government is that we actually to run around. And all I'm saying to you, sir, I believe that you got to find people who will get the job done so that the consumer and the community feels good about the service because they know they're going to get results.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, you say you couldn't agree more, Rocky. Let me ask you this question quickly before you go. The CFO left. Have we filled that position yet?
It's being filled by in an acting capacity.
It's in an acting capacity? No. Yeah. Okay, good. But it's advertised?
That I'm not sure of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But you're comfortable with the acting CFO?
Yeah. We're certainly managing. I mean, we're managing a lot, and especially on the financial side. And yep, we're confident at the moment.
Don't forget, sometimes in-house hiring is a good thing as well. Everything ain't got to be somebody from outside with a glass with a beautiful resume.
Trust me. I would say the target should be, I think, to everything we talked about today. Mm-hmm. Building the in-house capacity should be that shouldn't be lost in all of this, right? Even in the attraction methods, like, mm-hmm. We should be always trying to make sure that. That there's not just bringing in, that there's opportunities for advancement internally as well.
So
too.
Final thoughts, I want to wrap this guy. I want Ducks and Rodney and Rocky to hear this. As someone who is a young professional, are you saying that dealing with this from a tangible perspective, that the Biden administration is giving the effort with respect to making opportunities available for young leadership?
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you this. I had the benefit of when I started this role and just prior to this role.
You got a 5-year anniversary. You just had one or something, right?
Just had one last month, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So started under the Trump administration, yeah. and have been on both sides, obviously longer on the Biden side.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you from what I came into this agency with in terms of resource, in terms of opportunities to put funding into sectors of the economy, it was essentially non-existent. We were scraping the bottom of the barrel, just basically working on you know, $200,000 to $300,000 grants was really the crux and the core of our existence.
That's 19, and then of course the pandemic came. Now you can't really grade the pandemic as a regular year,
exactly.
Right, but you're saying 21, 22, 23, whole different ballgame.
I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of grants that we're going after. And again, when I talk about those funds, I talk about those are funds that are then going to naturally be turned into shovel-ready projects, programs, strategic engagement. So we're under the Biden administration, it's exponential growth in the funding that we're able to infuse into just this local economy. So imagine that across all 50 states. I mean, and that's just in the energy sector. It's undeniable.
Ronnie, that's music to your ears, man. Ronnie, you there?
Yes. Yeah.
That's music to your ears, Ronnie.
Yes, because instead of just talking it, they're implementing it, and people feeling how Biden's administration has affected their lives directly. So I love that. And, you know, the thing about it is that's what a leader's supposed to do. When you lead in the UN, United States of America, the richest nation on the globe, you make sure that people feel the money that everybody making, and you could feel it with projects, with types of opportunities and everything. So what you guys talking about with opportunities, you know, that's all you could provide to young people and people that you lead in, opportunities to progress, to live a better life, to improve the living conditions where they live in. So I fully on board, Neville.
Dog school. Former PSC director perspective, what you're hearing from the energy office director in terms of investment for the Virgin Islands on the energy side.
And it is awesome. The CHIPS Act. I tell all you guys, they got to promote it. The CHIPS Act is providing this stuff where you can get this thing. And I'm happy that Mr. Fleming is tapping into those resources because we need them here. The electric cars, the renewable energy aspects, dealing with water, cleaning up the water like Biden said last night. We need that, and it has been done, and we need to continue and forge ahead, Mr. Fleming. Forge ahead, man. We need you. Your generation now.
I'll give a follow on the closing part.
You touched on the electric vehicles, and it'd be remiss if I didn't plug. We have in January we launched out, just to give you an example of money that we're able to put into from the Biden administration onto the streets. So we launched our electric vehicle rebate program, which gives a $5,000 rebate to people who purchase new and used electric vehicles, whether locally or in the states, and bring them here. We've actually already cut the first wave of checks. We already had a number of applications come in. We've been able to actually have those checks already go and received by customers within about, the first wave took about five weeks, and we're expecting to cut that time down. So that's a program that wouldn't have existed without funds from the federal government. The federal government wants to see electric vehicle adoption grow. We're creating programs to lower the cost barrier to accessing electric vehicles here in the territory. And that's just one inkling of opportunity. So whether that's the opportunity for the dealerships who are able to now sell more vehicles, the consumers who are able to buy, the BMV who's registering the vehicles, the service and support that comes with that. I mean, these dollars have such far reach, and there is such an extensive amount of them that are being made available. So I think everything that we're talking about here, I think Rocky touched on it, you know, the opportunity, or Ronnie touched on it in terms of how much the opportunity does. There's so many touch points across this board, and we're really happy to be a part of that and be able to make that reality more accessible to more people across the territory. So we got more programs like that to come. This year is going to be a busy year for us, creating incentives, creating programs, putting projects on the ground. And that's really what it's about, is really, really creating some tangibility. We talk a lot about dollars. I really want to see shovel-ready results, and that's what we're focused on here.
Mr. Chairman.
You know, Neville.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know something? It is a beautiful expression of how to deal with global warming and how the administration and how your important guest has implemented it
in the Virgin Islands. We love it. Thank you.
And I want to thank him.
Neville.
Yeah, go ahead,
I
man.
Want to say,
yeah, go ahead.
We got federal money knocking dog.
yesterday, still hanging around. I like that one. Hey, Mr. Power, Mr. Power, thank you very much for the extended stay this morning.
Yeah, man.
Great contribution. I'm looking forward to talking in April next year. Next month.
I'm looking forward to a title for my next session on the table talk.
Of course.
Everybody got a handle except for
everybody
me.
Got one. So yeah, we gonna figure it out, man. No worry about that. Give us some time. We good. Thanks for being here this morning. Appreciate it. You got it. That's Kyle Fleming. We merge the Power Hour with the table talk, which is normally the first Friday of the month, and of course the table talk is every Monday thing. I got the boys. Let me do our quorum call. We're at the bottom of the hour. Good morning, Mr. Ranking Member. You're on assignment. Armando Rocky Library, numero uno en la papeleta. And I know you're grieving right now, but we got love for you. Don't worry about that. We're gonna be we're there for you. Okay. So
yeah.
glad to have you join us from a distance this morning.
Good morning to you all, and good morning to all the folks in the VI and throughout the world who listen. Because a lot of people,
I got a joke for you. I go bring it up. I don't go to Ronnie first, then go back to Ducks, because the joke had to do with what Ducks just did there yesterday. Good morning, Ronnie Russell, Senator from St. Croix, 4 terms. I believe it was, let me make sure I do the math now. It was the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 29th. Good morning, Ronnie. We're also glad to have you on this morning.
Good morning, Neville, and good morning to your wonderful audience. Good morning, Ducks and Rocky. It's a nice day.
Hey, Ducks. Ducks, you basking in the aftermath of last night, man. Good morning, Donald Ducks. Cool the handle out of St. Thomas. He served in the 23rd, 24th, and the 30th. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader. How are you?
Good morning to all the president's men, and I'm feeling well. The sun is shining over here, man. I feel in the heat already, so it's nice to be. Neville, last night I'm watching the thing. I said, I hope Neville bring us on this morning.
I had to bring Ayo on, man. My Boshti partner, I don't normally reach for you, but given how Ronnie has been undying in his support of Biden, notwithstanding the ups and the downs, the peaks and the valleys, I say, I'm going to bring you on this, man. And I make sure I text Rocky early. I say, Rocky, I need you tomorrow, 9 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock yours. And Rocky said, don't worry. I'm going to be there. So I'm glad all of y'all are here this morning.
All are you.
Hey, so check this out, Rocky and Ronnie and the audience. Yesterday, I had on a young lady named Gabrielle Carrad. And we were talking about Neem, Maranga, and Noni, right? And she said, it got Neem knocking dog and St. Thomas, right? So I was laughing because that type of terminology there, that's real colloquial West Indian Virgin Islands terms. So I was having fun with it. Do you know that for the remainder of the show, all we were doing was talking about all of the terms them that we don't use, right? So she mentioned the word MAGA, right?
Yeah.
So, which is one of our classic local terms. And my good friend, and your friend, Docs, and everybody, TCHC, Ty Camille Hunt Caesar, had me to know. It got updated term for MAGA. The term is starve out. Right? And for the remainder of the show, it was just nothing but colloquial terms, which once again shows that we need to be proud of not only our culture, but our multiple contributions that we continue to make as a people. And the Biden administration, and I'll start with you, Ducks. Molito Smith, sister, ain't a part of this thing? She wasn't a part of the health task force.
COVID, one of
the health advisory or task force or something.
Policy advisor to Biden.
Of course.
COVID, so you know, strictly local we're talking about. And listen,
yeah,
I want you guys to know that last night, one of our former court reporters, Ms. Shanda Ken, she works for Congress right now. She was there. One of the stenographers last night.
She was down to the left, right? Down to the left of the president, right?
The room Ruben. Shanda Ken. She was there. She took the State of the Union last night.
So hold up there. I want Ronnie, I want you to have fun with me with this one. So Ducks and Rocky, like I was saying, St. Thomas, one of our wars was a stenographer last night. That's what you're saying, huh? Ducks and Rocky?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Virgin Islands.
Hey, guys, I know about it earlier that she was going to be there. And I said, wow, boy, we really good, you know.
Tina, we've been good for a long, long time. Let me ask this question as it relates to the delivery. And I'm going to ask each of you. Did the president underperform? Was he on point? Or did he exceed expectations? Rocky, then Ducks, then Rani.
Listen, the president was on point. As a matter of fact, I think he exceeded expectations because he went out and he took it directly. I like the way he did it. I like the way he did it because a lot of times the president wants to play around with these people, but ain't time for play around no more. Tell them the real deal, and like I say, tell them the truth.
Ducks and Rani, the local Tom Rocky looking for his. The president was skylarking last night.
And he called him out.
But you know what was painful on the Republican side, and we're going to get to that in the last segment. Ducks, underperform on point or exceeded expectations?
I would go with exceeded expectation because he was on fire. he was spitting facts and just spitting, and that man they were like handicapped because they're supporting Trump. The speaker sitting down, he was clapping under the table, you know,
and shaking his head up top but clapping underneath. That's what was going on
the table.
Yeah,
and when the one that gets me, Neville, Rani and Rocky, is when he talk about a barter, and yes. Remember the last thing we talk about And the table talk was the border, right?
Yeah, the border issue. Big issue.
The border issue. Yeah. When the guy who negotiated the...
Yeah, James Lankford, the U.S. Senator from Oklahoma. He had to agree with the president last night. Yeah.
That was so poignant, man. It was awesome.
B, so let me ask that question. Ronnie Mingo even asked you, because I know he was beyond exceeding expectations with you.
But
do you think that... The way the president used the Republican positions against them last night, put them on the defensive in that setting last night?
Absolutely. And it was a skillful, like, closing argument when you are attorney, when you got to close out. You got to go straight to the juggler. And this is what he did in every aspect of it. And you know something? The delivery, his relaxedness, it just his demeanor for the whole thing was very convincing, Neville, that the age in the thing, and he mentioned it in his speech. It ain't age. You got the idea.
No, but he actually it looked like he'd listened to White, Rocky and Ducks because he said age is about wisdom. So be careful that. We'll take a break, we'll come back, we're going to talk about the border issue, and we're also going to talk about the situation in Gaza, because I don't like how the Republicans were responding last night to that. We'll take a break and come back.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Women of color are at the forefront of change in the U.S. So why have so few held political office?
There are not enough people on the inside that look like me.
With the 2018 midterm elections underway, it'll take a village for these trailblazing candidates to win a seat at the table. And she could be next.
A special two-part series on POV.
Tune in March 12th and 13th at 11 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On American Experience.
The sun's energy is absorbed and transformed into heat.
Maria Telke, she was a solar evangelist.
She really imagined this as revolutionizing the way that people lived.
Nothing else would even get close to the Dover Sun House.
She's laying a foundation for pretty much everything now that we do with solar.
The Sun Queen on American Experience.
Tune in March 12th at 9 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
And we're back here at Analyze This. We got a special edition of Analyze This this morning. We got the Table Talk, a Friday version. And we're coming back again. We're coming back on Monday. I had to come back on Monday in the aftermath of the 2024 State of the Union address delivered by President Joe Biden. I got Rocky Laibo joining me. He coming in from a distance. Morning, Rocky. We got Doc School from out of the Rock. And we got Ronnie Russell here on St. Croix. Gentlemen, this situation in Gaza is a very sensitive situation. And of course, here in the Virgin Islands, we have a lot of folks who are from Palestine, from Jordan, from the area, from the Middle East. So we got to be concerned about what's going on over there, right? Last night, when the president mentioned that I want a two-state solution, I saw the Democrats standing up and I saw the Republicans sitting down. That was painful. That was painful. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, right? America has always been about inclusivity, right? And it seems to me, and I want to start with you, Ronnie, that it looked like the inclusivity now is only for a select few. And that is painful, given that America brags about we are a nation of immigrants. And one of the things we want is freedom. We don't like the tyranny. We don't like the way England were running things. That's the reason why we had the war. And that's the reason why we have a republic now, which is supposed to be a three-tiered, equal branch of government leadership structure. What we dealing with there last night, and also with Ukraine, you know, it looks like we're starting to see some Republicans defecting from the Republican argument, where I saw some Republicans, a smattering amount, but they were standing up when the president was talking about assisting Ukraine because we can't allow for the Putins of the world to have the kind of control that they want to have. Ronnie, our situation in America is actually worse than we want to think it is as it relates to that polarization, you know.
Yes, and that is the problem that Biden faced and the country faced. You got to realize that we have people from both Israel and Palestine living here.
Correct.
And the issue is how I thought the idea of doing humanitarian aid and opening a conduit to it is a good beginning. But the two-state solution is even on the table from Carter time. You remember?
Yeah.
And then it was actually
highlighted even more. And Ducks and I spoke about this with Dwayne with Clinton when he had Arafat and I believe it was Rabin at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're right, Ronnie. This been going on for decades.
But the problem is that you need moderate Israelis in leadership.
You need moderate leaders on all sides
both
in leadership. Yeah.
And yes. And so we don't have that now. And I hope Biden could cultivate it. Kamala Harris might be able to help. And, you know, Buttigieg, and he has a good administration, you know.
That's the reason why that's the reason why he's still in the ball game, Ronnie.
Yes.
It has to be because who he surrounded himself with. Let's face it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And some of those people might be the right messenger to go to these two warring, you know, real serious war and get a leadership that would
compromise and would start this two-state solution that is really needed. It's been that way, and it's always going to be that way. So I hope that Biden, in his administration, could find the right messenger and get somebody that could work with both sides for a lengthy period of time. And then when it reaches to the end, you know, it comes to Biden and it comes to the leaders to approve it, because that's what they need. And that's not only the place, you know, Neville. Sudan and Africa, some real serious problems.
I apologize wholeheartedly, because we'd have been focusing on the high-profile conflicts, and you're absolutely correct. We got a lot of issues going on in the motherland as well, and other parts of the world, South America too, you know, in South America.
Yes.
Right there in Colombia, Venezuela, and all that stuff, we got issues there as well. So thank you very much for looking out. That's why you're part of the table talk, my brother. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Now, Ducks, you brought up a good point with Lankford, where the president said, I keep saying the governor. Sorry, Governor Brian. But the president said that we reached out to Republican leadership from back in November to work on this issue. They came back with what they came back with. We all compromised, and we pretty much gave them more than we were ever willing to give them over the last 20 years as it relates to immigration. And they rejected it. When? The front runner. And last night he referenced my predecessor, I think it's 11 or 13 times. I think it's 11 times, right?
That's skillful.
That's a lawyer move right there, right? So Ducks, when he said that, Lankford said, he whispered or he mouthed, that's true. So you know, right, that the Republican MA like that, because that's going to be part of the marketing move politically going forward. And it also shows that Lankford was hurt, Ducks Cole, that they used him to play a part in this role, and in the end, they threw him under the bus.
Listen, Neville, Ronnie, and Rocky, the fact we mean is that the president did, as Ronnie said, was skillful, right? He laid out what the bill is going to do. That's the crux of it. So it slap it in their face and say, listen, guys.
So you were using the numbers? That's what you're saying? The numbers?
It's going to cut down on the fentanyl coming across that you're blaming me for. Give me the power to close the border that you're blaming me for. Give me the power to put hire new judges to hire these people.
Yeah.
You can get them out of here in 6 months.
Yeah, as opposed to 6 years. Yes, that's a good point.
You understand?
Yeah.
He laid the facts on the line, and when Marjorie Taylor Greene shout out, she say, I hope you can read it, you know, because that's what you guys sent to me. You understand what I'm saying? And he was so quick to respond.
Quick response.
So
I love
shut
that.
Down this thing about the old and the feeble and all of that. I mean, he was there. He was ready for them. And that is the tenure of experience. Yeah.
Matters.
I was too young when I came in. It's like Marshall Montano, they tell me I was too young to soca.
But
I loved it.
But Ducks. You're making joke. Hey, Rocky, as a senior member of the 31st legislature, right? And by the way, I want the public to know, I told you that the numbers of the legislature, Doc Skoll and Ronnie served in. Rocky served from the 20th, the 19th, to the 25th, and then came back in the 31st. Is that correct, sir? Those are the years?
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So I know you did 14. You did 14 with one haul, and then you come back in for as a caboose for 2 years with me to make sure that I had somebody I could lean on to talk to. Right? But Rocky, from the experience standpoint, I know that the Republicans, everybody, even Democrats, were a little bit concerned going in as to whether the president would hold his own, because, you know, you've been hearing all these things about age and, you know, not and all this cognitive dissonance and all that. Last night, to me, you know, as a matter of fact, I want to read it now. Sean Hannity, for Fox News insinuates, and I'm reading this now, President Biden was on drugs during the State of the Union last night. In other words, he was so good that he had to have he had to have help. That wasn't naturally him.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Neville and Ronnie and Doc, the president last night went to the conscience of American people.
The soul, like you say. The soul, like you like to say. That,
That's what he went with. He took it to the conscience of people. He brought it to a point where he brought up those issues and why he went with the recapping of how the bill was with the border. Because he wanted the people to know what's in it and what guys refused to address. That's what he saw. He wanted to let them know that. Then he wanted also to let them know that I'm a president for progress. The past is, he's like the latrine. You can't imagine the possibilities. I mean, and he says we're not going back in the past. That's thinking about retribution.
Rocky, let me stop you there. Isn't that ironic that the man that they blaming for or claiming is too old is the one who is speaking more about the future and not the past?
Look, but you know what he did also? He made, like I told you, he spoke to the consciousness of these people, particularly the members of Congress, because he wanted them to know
the Supreme Court.
Oh, gosh.
The Supreme Court.
Oh, gosh.
He slammed the Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court, too. He told them that, listen, this bill come back here. I'm signing it.
Not only that, Rocky, tell them, it look like I don't understand how powerful woman be, but I going to hear from them again.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's right. Listen, he had a message for all of them because, like I told you, the key word is he took to the consciousness of our people. And everybody could understand that because deep down in your heart and your mind, your conscience speaks to you when things get rough, when things get tough.
Yeah,
you have a conscience to deal with.
It is. But check this out. But check this. Let me ask you three of you this question. Right? Because Ronnie, you brought up the point that it was a closing argument. So in other words, the way I saw it going into, when he started his speech, my thing was, he realized, well, if I going down fighting, right?
Exactly.
So he came out on fire. But he also did something, and you talk about the skillfulness. You know that we're focused on Gaza, and we're focused on the border. You notice he choking in there, and I want our teachers to get more money, too. So in other words, and all of you have been educators, right? He wanted them to know that I'm aware of what's going on domestically as well. And then he also told them, I notice a lot of you taking credit for things I vote against. You think I'm paying attention? Look, I'm trying to find holes in the president's argument. They're none there. I can't find any of them last night.
Hey, listen, team. The best part of it was how quick he responded to Green.
Yes.
He showed that he's sharp, he earned the money, and if this ain't not old man, this is a man that could look at you and dispel you and destroy you immediately. And
yes,
it was
but
done.
Ronnie, that's a cutthroat. Just to add to that, just to show that he's on top of things, he says, look, you have this bag of chips. You get them about seven of them, though. And they're
that Doc's cool.
That's telling you.
He was thanking Doc's cool. He said Doc's
cool right now.
He was thanking Doc's cool. He was thanking Doc's cool. Doc's cool been mentioning the chips bill all along. So he was thanking Doc's cool for bringing it up. But here's the deal, though. We also saw a side of it. And I keep mentioning Marjorie Taylor Greene. How can you come into the to Congress and a state of the Union like wearing a hat, number one, and then wearing a political hat on top of that? That's bad taste. And that, to me, is why I mentioned to you, Ronnie, right? But I want Ducks to respond to this. Decorum and rules. That's the reason why you adopt rules at the start of a legislature. Because there's certain things that you don't allow. And that, to me, was totally uncalled for, totally disrespectful, and ultimately, it turns off the people that Ducks, me and you've been talking about, the expanded middle.
The middle, yeah. And the thing about it is, right,
Neville, you're correct. And brothers, we've been there with rules. But what happened, the Republicans crafted a rule to hamstring the speaker, right?
Yeah.
That any one of them can throw him out.
Yes.
The speaker, he wants to clap, but he can't clap.
Right.
He wants to stand up, but he can't stand up.
Because he was too young.
That's an excellent point. I talking about rules, but you bring up a good point. Where in the current rules of this legislature, anybody could ask for a vacation of the chair, and that's not the way to lead. That's bad leadership, man. That gun to the head thing is bad, you know. And we can't continue to have that. By the way, one of my listeners them said the term that I was really looking for is Biden one up your pia last night.
That's right.
Yeah,
another local term as well. Hey, gentlemen, we're back at it again on Monday, right?
Okay.
We're gonna listen to the, you know, Sunday, right? All of the new shows on Sunday, including comes with the territory, gonna be big this weekend because we're gonna talk about the fallout of the State of the Union Address 2024. I want to thank all of you for joining us once again, Rocky, on behalf of the team. Right, and the people of the Virgin Islands, we want to extend condolences to you and your family on the loss of a loved one, and we want you to know that we are here for you, and you know, whatever the family needs, just let us know, and we're gonna try our best. Okay, Rocky.
Blessings, my brother. Blessings, stay strong.
Blessings. The closing statement now is up to the jury.
Yes, sir.
He got to continue now.
One more thing. I really believe, as a people of color, as we are, he is arguably the most fortunate man in the history of U.S. politics. Because you noticed last night, he said, I served as vice president for the first black president, and my vice president is the first black woman vice president. You know what I'm saying? The first woman president. He didn't mention black. He said the first woman vice president.
Right.
He is very, very fortunate in that regard, man. This could actually be one of those crossroad points in American history.
And Biden being a conduit. Some of us come in chains, so he incorporated everybody.
That's right. I try my best to find... the only thing I could say, it was maybe he was a little angry at the start. But aside from that, maybe he had to be that way to let him know I got to set the tone early. But aside from that, I thought he had a good night last night. Gentlemen, enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much. And by the way, when we talk on Monday, your boy going to be 60 years old, God willing, man. Because Sunday's the thing.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Sunday.
Hey, be good and be safe, everybody. Rocky, hang in.
All right.
Thank you very much, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.